us. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 15. Matthew chapter 6, we are finishing up the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to do it this last time in the series. So if you know it, let's do it. Our Father, let me get you started. If you don't know it, then we're going to have to go back to Sunday school. All right, let's go. And you may be seated. I still believe that we quote that extremely too boring. If we really listened to what we were saying, I don't know that we would be going, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I think we would be, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," in earth. I think we'd be a little more excited about it. I don't know who started that, but I could tell the first time we did it that we all went to the same types of churches, I guess, that's how they taught us how to do it, because I don't know if they knew what they were actually quoting. So to our Sunday school teachers, change that with the kids, somehow jazz it up, get a little more excited about what we're praying, because this is not a prayer of supplication. It's not a prayer of intercession, but it isn't a prayer of alignment. When you pray this, you are praying to come into alignment with the will of God in your life, and we understand how important that really is. Amen? Because when we have His will being done in earth as it is in heaven, we understand that we are now the temple of God. And us being the temple, we want the will of God to be done in our temple. Amen? We want the will of God to be done, so we pray for this alignment, and it is extremely important. We have learned that we are praying to our Father. We're not praying to a distant being that does not know who we are and what we need, but we are praying to our Father. It's very important that we understand we have been adopted into the family of God. When we say we are born again by the Spirit. That Spirit has adopted us into the family of God, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We cry out that He is our Father, because now we are sons and daughters of God. And because we are sons, more than sons, we have been made heirs. And we are able to partake in the divine nature of God. That's so important that we get this, because if we don't understand who we are, then the devil's going to wear us out every battle, and we're not going to gain any ground for the kingdom of God. When Jesus came, He came preaching the kingdom. He understood the kingdom. Now, what's amazing about His kingdom preaching was this, and I got to be careful saying this, so don't leave until I get to the end of the sermon, but Jesus preached two different ways to two different types of people. And I'm going to prove that to you. Colossians 1, 10 through 14, I want you to watch this. Paul says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every, say, good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened in all might, there's might, according to His glorious power, there's glory, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, there's the Father, which hath made us to meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. There's kingdom. So we see kingdom, power, glory, and Father right there. So when Jesus was praying this, Paul got it. When Jesus told us to pray this prayer, it wasn't just something that we recite like we recited it just now. It's something that we use to change something in us, not to be informed, but to be transformed. Because when we pray to God, we got to understand that when we pray to God, we're not just giving a grocery list. We are coming into alignment with a being that can change absolutely everything. So So when we pray, we don't pray any old way. We pray in the name of Jesus. Why do we pray in the name of Jesus? Is that just a good way to end your prayer so everybody knows they can eat in the name of Jesus? Amen. No, when we pray in the name of Jesus, we are praying in his person. We are praying in his being. So when we come to the Father, we come through the blood of Jesus Christ. So when I pray in the name of Jesus, it's not by my works that gets any attention. I'm not trying to wave God down and get his attention. I already have his attention because I belong to him. When I pray in the name of Jesus, I am praying through access, because we have access through the blood, through the cross, through the finished work, and that gives me access. So when you pray in his name. And it's not just given a grocery list. It changes us. How many people have been in a prayer meeting recently? How many people have prayed in their closet recently? How many people don't have a closet to pray in because it's so packed full of goods because we're blessed and you got no room to get in there? How many people know that's not what he's talking about anyway, actually getting in your closet to pray? When he said to pray, he said, you go into your closet. Study that out and you'll find out what it's talking about is going inward. Inward. Most of us pray outward. Oh, this is good. When y'all get quiet, that's when I know I'm doing good. I love when y'all say amen and clap, but when y'all get quiet, I know I'm on some. When you pray inward. Go into that secret place. Why? Because the kingdom of God is within you. And if the kingdom of God is within you, guess where the king is? He's in you. So when you pray, you're praying out like you're trying to get God's attention. Come on, anybody ever do that? Hoping that you say it right, hoping that you've been living good enough, hoping that somehow he'll hear you, somehow that you'll be able to flag him down. Anybody ever prayed like that? Because we make this statement. You know what? Sometimes when I pray, I don't feel like my prayers get as high as the ceiling. Why are we praying to try to get above the ceiling when the king resides within us? Why are we praying like he's in another temple when you, what? Know ye not that you are the temple of God? It is he that abides in you. Why are we trying to get to the ceiling when the ceiling has already came down to where we are and abides in us? Yeah, this is good. He said, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. For thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power and the glory forever. We're praying like we're waiting for the kingdom to come. We are. I remember in churches as a kid, Robin, they used to sing this song about the New Jerusalem. Anybody know? Anybody heard of that song? I mean, some of us know what I'm talking about because it was 1,500 miles long. Anybody ever heard that? Raise your hand if you heard that. Well, the name of the city, the New Jerusalem. And then they sang about this city coming down. And man, that's exciting for the New Jerusalem to come down because and I've heard sermons on the New Jerusalem and it's laid out and it's 1,500 miles square, which if you really look it up, it's like 14 something, but that'd be really hard to sing if you was like 1,400, 862 miles long. That wouldn't make a good song, so they rounded up. It's all laid out. Man, this makes a good sermon because the city has dimensions. Hell has none. Hell is a bottomless pit. So this is good preaching. Listen, if you don't like boundaries, then hell's probably the place you'll end up because there is no boundaries. But there's things about God that is dimensions and it's limited And believe it or not, God's goal is to limit your flesh, not because he hates you, but because he knows the spirit does so much more than the flesh. And if he limits the flesh and lets the spirit flow, you will have much more success and much more blessing than you can ever achieve through your flesh. That's why we pray for his kingdom to come to this earth. Thine is the kingdom. Paul understood this, Darren. He got it. He understood what we were looking for. But it's amazing what the church has done. Let me rephrase that. It's amazing what religion has done to people. I have seen bumper stickers. People still put them on their car. That says, I am a sinner saved by grace. If you have that bumper sticker on your car, after church, hit me up. We're going to go rip it off. Because what religion has done is made us understand that we are sinners so well that we carry it over into after we are redeemed. Oh, this is important. Why is this important? Because this is a trick of the enemy. You're a sinner in need of a Savior. You're a sinner in need of a Savior. You're a sinner. I'm not much. I'm not much. I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, if you're still a sinner, then you haven't been born again. Because when you get born again, you are no longer a sinner. You are now a saint. And you got to understand who you are in this picture and get that off your car. More importantly than get it off your car, because some people don't like glue on their car. They don't put it on the car, but they carry it around. I'm not much. I'm just a sinner. No, you know, you are the avenue that is to bring heaven to earth. That's who you are. You are the one that's supposed to be getting in alignment so that you can bring the kingdom of God, not in the sweet by and by. I'm not waiting until I get to heaven. I can get heaven right here where I am, because that's what he designed the church to do. Amen? The problem is, we want the power, we want the glory, we want the might, but we don't want the kingdom. You gonna say amen or oh me right here? One or the other. We want the power, we want the glory, but we don't want the kingdom. Because here's what happens when you enter the kingdom. You have to lose your identity and become what he has called you to be. Come out from among them, saith the Lord, right? Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Come out, come out. So here's what I do. I take Johnny here. Johnny's doing all kinds of bad stuff. Johnny's a bad man. And so what I tell Johnny is, stop touching that, stop touching that, stop touching that, stop. Did your mommy ever do you that way? When you was lost, was you lost and she saved? Was she saved before you? Oh, it makes it rough, don't it? She prayed on you. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? When your mom is saved and you're not saved, anybody, and they pray for you and you wish they'd quit. Because they pray stuff like this. They say, Lord, I don't care what it takes. God, you make them miserable. You get them, Lord. You just get them. And you're walking around miserable saying, just stop praying. And he's doing bad things. And I'm telling him to come out, come out, come out, come out. Get away from those things. Get away from those things. Get away. Now, let me tell you what happens when you get away from things. Has anybody ever had to run from something? You know what happens when you run from something? You look back. Let me give you an example. There was this Rottweiler one time that was trained in Germany. He had German commands the whole shooting match. He was cool. You can say I'm retired. I understand. It was so cool because he was so nice when he was off his chain. But as soon as they hooked his chain up, it was a weighted chain, and it pulled on his neck. The dog went psycho. Like it knew when it was chained up that that's how it rolled. Well, we're walking down the road one day, and we see the dog. He's loose. Well, God, it's fine. It's okay. It's okay. The problem was the chain had tore loose from his doghouse. So he still had the chain on, and he was free. He was chained and free. This did not bode well for us. Because normally he was happy when he was free. But not this day. And he chased us. I have never been more scared in my life. And let me tell you what happened when I ran. I kept looking back to see how far I was away from him. Let me tell you where the problem is. When you look back, you lose ground. It's better to just run. Because when you turn around, you could listen, this is just physics. You cannot run as fast like this as you can like this. It's just physics. And I turned around, and he's right there at me. Rah, rah, rah. And I'm like, ah, I'm kicking. I'm screaming. I jump up on the hood of a guy's truck, push the guy in front of me. Because when you're running from something, if I keep telling you to run from something, you're going to keep looking back to see how far you are. Let me tell you the difference. When I tell you to run to something, listen, when you get kingdom-minded and you run toward kingdom, you're not looking at how far you've got away from your past life. You are looking how close you are getting to where you are going. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. It's, oh, I'm going to tell you, when you get close to Jesus, all those other things fall away by default. That's why he said, seek ye first, and all these, all that other stuff will take care of itself if I seek kingdom. Are y'all bored yet? Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom. Did you hear what I just said? I'm praying for kingdom, and he's already translated me into the kingdom. Yeah. Did y'all hear that? I said, I'm praying for something to come that has already came, and I've been translated. That means he moved me over into it. Yeah. Man, it's kingdom. I've got kingdom. He's in me. I'm in him. We abide together. Do we realize who we are? What are we going to do in this year to come if we realize exactly who we are? Not a sinner saved by grace. Not somebody coming up on the rough side of the mountain. But somebody that's been born again of the water and of the Spirit. And I've got kingdom in me. First Chronicles 29:10-11. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father. Don't tell me David didn't have a revelation that nobody else had in the Old Testament. Try to find that word in the Old Testament pertaining to God, and you'll only find it a few times. Our Father, for... Wait a minute. Israel our Father forever and ever? Is he our Father forever and ever? Some of y'all run around saying, man, I'm about ready to lose my salvation. Not me. He's my Father forever and ever. Y'all got nervous, didn't you? He's up there telling me they can do anything they want. Now I'm telling you, when you get to born again, you won't do anything you want. As a matter of fact, your wants will begin to change. Preacher, you're going to get my license to sin. Give them a license. They're doing pretty good without a license. They're sitting pretty good unlicensed. Watch this. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the. I think he just got on a roll, didn't he? For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Watch this. Watch this New Testament language. Thine is the, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. If you don't see the Lord's Prayer right here, I don't know how else to show you, but I could, if I could highlight the words, they're all there. Why did David understand kingdom? Because he understood what it was to be in alignment. How did David understand how it was to be in alignment? Well, he kept all the rules that was given to the kingdom. No, he didn't. As a matter of fact, he broke some pretty bad ones. Run into the temple and eat the showbread. He deserved to die, but somehow he got by. Why? Because he understood. It wasn't necessarily about all the list of things. It was the heart of the issue. And David was a man after God's own heart. So here's what's going to happen. When we get kingdom, we'll stop performing for God and we'll start communing with God. Yeah, that's better than y'all gave me credit for. That's tweetable right there, or whatever we do now. When we understand kingdom, we'll stop performing for God. Come on, you ever got in that? You ever got in that cycle of performing for God? Let me show you what that looks like. You come to church and you're messed up and you're struggling. And you're like, you know what? I just want to quit and go back out in the world and do my own thing. I'm done with it. But you come in here and we're like, how you doing? Good. God bless you. Good to see you. And then they sing worship songs. You don't want to raise your hand. And then it's pretty good. So you're like, because you don't want anybody taking note that you're not worshiping like you normally worship. And then we'll text you and ask you what's up. And you don't want to have to lie. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you're just like, I'm fed up with it. I'm just fed up. That's because you're performing. You're going through the motions. Now, let's fast forward. You ever been on fire for God? And you weren't performing, but you were in relationship? You'd been in prayer with him. You'd been reading your Bible, not because your phone went ding and you read your scripture, but you actually read it because you wanted to know more about him. Not trying to beat your time in. Am I talking to anybody? And man, you get on fire and we're getting ready to do that. This is getting ready to happen. Next week, when's the first? Thursday? Come Friday, I'm going to start reading my Bible all the way through. I'm going to make it this year. You can't do this in your flesh. But here's the key. Brandon, the closer I get to him, the less those things become a burden. Oh, let me show you. Can I show you? Y'all okay? I can. Take my time. She said, take my time. Y'all mad? That was Brittany. Matthew 13. I want to show you something. I got three verses, maybe four, maybe 12. I don't know where it's going in. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in... All right, don't go to the next verse. Some of y'all don't know this, and this is important. Because you thought that he talked to them in parables so they could understand it, to make it simple. What's the old saying? Kiss, keep it simple, silly. Oh, I heard some of y'all. So it was Jesus was trying to keep it simple for the crowds. Here's the problem with talking to a crowd. Is the only way to really maximize it is when you're talking to a crowd of people is you can't go above the most simple person in the room. I don't know how else to say it. But let me say it like this. Okay, if I'm preaching on the legal ramifications of justification, you got a chance of getting that. Charlie's in the room, she don't. Right? Because there's an age gap. So we got to go to when you're talking to a crowd. So Jesus was trying to keep it real simple. Is that what you believe? Most people believe that. Watch this. They ask him, why do you do this? Verse 11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. What? Holiday, Hoobie, Waddy? What's he saying? Why is he saying that? He said, it's given to you to understand the doctrines. Is that what he said? No. What'd he say? The mysteries. He didn't say it's given for you to understand the doctrines. He didn't say it's given for you to understand the philosophical side or the legal side. He said it's given to you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Let me tell you what man wants to do. Take out all mystery in his relationship with Jesus. Everything has to fix his framework. It all has to fit right in his framework. And if what you say about Jesus doesn't fit my framework, then I'm going to reject what you have to say about Jesus. Can I give you an example? The Reformers believe in the doctrine of cessation, most of them. Why? Because it's their religious framework. So when I say Jesus is a healer, they reject that because it doesn't fit in the framework of their religion. And let me tell you what's messing us up is the framework of our religion. Because he said there's some mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And it's given to you to understand the mysteries, but not to them. Well, that's not fair. All right, keep going. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away the little bit that he's got. Does this bother you a little? Does this mess? How do I become one of the ones that get the mystery? How do I get to the inner circle of Jesus? Oh, there was 120, and inside the 120 there was 12, and inside the 12 there was what? 3, and inside that 3 there was one. Who was it? John. But there was Peter, James, and John. There was the 3. He would take them out of the 12. But then there's the inner 12. Now this gets really good. Y'all got time for this? He says, I speak to them in parables. I'm going to paraphrase here so we can get finished. So that they think they understand what I'm saying. But you know what he did with the inner circle? He took them aside. So he taught the crowd one way. But then he got on the inside with the inner circle and he taught them another way. Some people are satisfied on being in the crowd. I want to preach to somebody in this room that says, how do I get to the inner circle so that I can understand the mysteries? How do I get there? John 6, 54. Got 3 verses, maybe 6, maybe 12. Jesus goes off on his tangent. He does a miracle. And after he does this miracle, they want more miracles. You know why? Because people like bread. People like to be healed. I mean, who in their right mind wouldn't like to be healed? Amen? Come on. You get a little tiny cut. Aren't you glad when it don't hurt no more? I don't know what it is about cuts. Sometimes you get them and they don't hurt until you see them bleed. You've been walking around this thing bleeding for 2 hours and you look down and you go, ow! It's like, has that ever happened to anybody but me? Raise your hand if it's ever happened so I don't feel weird. See, look around. I mean, you're just like, that didn't even bother me till I seen it. Man, when it heals up, you watch. And they're asking for miracles. And Jesus says, whoso eateth my flesh, back up. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 55. Watch this. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. It sounds like straight up cannibalism, does it not? He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. That's a little radical, wouldn't you think? They're like, hey, give us some more miracles. He's like, eat my flesh, drink my blood. I mean, listen, you're laughing, but that is exactly how it went down. And so some of them said, this is a hard saying. Touche. And some of the disciples, what'd they do? They left. They left. Now watch this. Jesus don't stop them. He let them leave. They left because he made this statement. Then he looks at the 12. Does anybody know this story? He looks at them and says, what's he ask them? You gonna leave too? So you guys gonna go too? What about you guys? You leaving? And who do you think's gonna say something? Peter, of course. And you know what he says? Where would we go? That's horrible. If I ever ask you if you're leaving this church, don't look at me and go, well, where else are we going to go? Yeah, we would. We'd roll right out of here, but where else is there? He says, where else are we going? He said, you have the words of eternal life. Really, Peter? Did you catch what he just said to everybody else? Do you think Peter understood what he was saying? Do you think they all grasp it? No, here's the ticket, though. They stayed around even when they didn't understand it all. And in that staying, things were revealed. This is good. This is so good. Are you getting me? Listen, you can listen to our podcast, right? You can listen to our podcast. You know what Shane tells me all the time? What did you tell me, Shane? We need to get video, right? Because we do illustrations. Like just a few minutes ago, nope. They didn't get to see that. The podcast people don't get to see that. So they don't understand. I mean, there's a language. Body language means something, don't it? That's why you have emojis on your phone. To try to add expression to words. And people are like, I don't use those. Please do, because I can't tell what you're saying. I don't know if you're mad, you're being sarcastic. Send me something. Because body language means something. And you know what else means something? Silence. Tracy can say more to me without saying anything than she ever can when she says stuff. Oh, you men say amen. Hey, babe, everything all right? It's not. Don't look back, just run. So what are you saying? I'm saying to get in that inner circle, you got to get in the inner circle. You got to be in proximity. You got to be in his presence. When you don't understand it all, get in his presence. Because in that presence, there is a revealing. There are some things that you will never, ever, ever be taught, but there are things that will be caught. You won't catch it. I mean, I won't be able to articulate it to you, but you'll catch it in your spirit. And sometimes there were some things that went on when Jesus would just steal away with the disciples. Because they were in there, they seen things that other people did not see. They thought they understood it. They thought they got it, but they didn't get it. Why am I telling you this? Because this year you need to make purposeful in your life. Get in his presence. Get in his presence alone. Get in his presence as much as you can. Because when you're in his presence, there are some things that take place that don't take place in the crowd. Get alone with him. Get alone with him. You know what can mess up your Christian walk? A riding buddy to work. You know, maybe you don't know what I'm talking about, but man, driving to work by myself is a blessing. Nobody's over there. I mean, can you imagine? Your buddy's over there riding with you to the mines and he's dozing off. You're like, well, glory! Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. That ain't going to work too well. He's going to look over at you and say, what in the world's wrong with you? But man, when you're by yourself, it don't matter, especially when it's early as we go. It's dark. Nobody on the interstate even knows you. I guess some of y'all don't get that excited about it, do you? Have you ever felt like shouting while you was driving? If y'all don't know what shouting are, shouting's when you dance. You know, you're just driving down the road, man, and it's just hitting you, and it may be a slow song. man, in his presence, things change. You don't have to tell me you've been in his presence. It'll start showing when you get in his presence. The Bible says, come on here. The Bible says that they were uneducated and they were ignorant. But they could perceive that they had been with Jesus. It didn't say taught by Jesus, indoctrinated by Jesus. It said they could tell that they had been with Jesus. So there's a lot of religious people that are in the crowd and they think they got it. But he's calling you to pray, thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power. The kingdom, the power, the glory forever. So be it. So if I want his power and I want glory, I got to have kingdom. Darren, I love Sunday school this morning. Anybody enjoy Sunday school this morning? Give the Lord a hand for Sunday school. It's good stuff. To those that couldn't make it, it's only an hour. You said Paul was writing in his folly. And I, when you were reading those scriptures, I was reading them all like he was in his folly. And when he said, I was rude. What was the word he used? Rude what? His rude words, his rude speech. His rude speech. And I just pictured him as, you said it was sarcasm. And I've done this to people. You preach to them and they're like, man, that really hurt my feelings. It really hurt your feelings, my rude speech. That's why I was reading it. Like, oh, I hurt your little feelings. Because you know what, Doug? We live in a generation that is full of feelings. They get offended over everything. Everything. I'm offended. I'm offended. Well, guess what? The word's offensive sometimes. But when you walk in kingdom and you understand you're dealing with a king, you'll let the word offend your flesh so that your spirit can live. As he was teaching on Corinth, it was a lot easier back then. For Paul, it was a lot easier to rebuke somebody. You know why? Because travel wasn't as easy. There weren't as many churches. So you could rebuke people, and what are they going to do? They'll be like, Peter, where else are we going to go? We're going to go over to East Corinthian, no, Corinth, see what's going on over there. What was it? We're going to go to 2 Corinthians. That's how I got started. But you know what happens when you get kingdom-minded? When you get that idea in your heart that, man, whatever it takes, I want his kingdom so I can have his power so that we can produce glory. You get your flesh out of the way. And you don't get offended so easily. Amen. If Michael Phelps was teaching me how to swim and he told me I was doing it wrong, I'd be crazy looking and say, you know what, you're really bothering me. Don't you think? You know what? You're really getting on my nerves. I got this. But when Jesus corrects us, it irritates us sometimes. Don't let that irritation stop you. Keep praying. Thy kingdom come. The kingdom's here. The kingdom's within. I need his power. I need his glory. Right now, I want you, Baptist Roots, ready? Close your eyes. Bow your heads. Nobody looking around. Have you felt or heard over the last little while, God? God's voice calling you to a closer place in Him? If you've heard that, would you slip your hand up? Thank you. Thank you. You've heard it. You've heard it. It's God, I'm thankful for what you've done, but God, I'm not satisfied here. If you've heard that drawing, that pulling that says, there's so much more, you've been had. You've been walking in this religion, and Jesus never came to start a religion called Christianity. He came to lead you into relationship. And you've purposed a couple times, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. Slip your hand up if you purpose. You said, I was going to do better. I'm going to try harder. Thank you. Let's stand. Let's stand. Come on, fellas. Come on. I need you over here. Right now, if you slipped your hand up and you knew that God's calling you to a closer place, we want to pray with you. Why? Because the enemy is going to do everything he can to keep you in the crowd so you think you understand. But this is on you. This is an invitation. That's the Spirit drawing you into a closer realm. And if you slipped your hand up, we want to pray for you right now. Because, A, new year, new beginning, reset, whatever you want to call it. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you're standing in the crowd and you're a believer, would you point your hand this way? Would you help us pray?